Welcome to Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. I want to introduce my guest. He is a former men's basketball player at Samford University, former head girls basketball coach at Midfield High School. I won four state championships under him. Also, the 2010 National Coach of the Year. He was awarded that after his fourth consecutive championship. He's the former coach for the Alabama Roadrunners AAU Basketball Club, and he's currently the principal at Rock City Prep Christian School and the founder and CEO of WorldWare Consulting Services. Reggie Ware, welcome to the show.
What's up, Britt? Thanks for having me and being the first guest on your show. Hey, hands down, I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So let's get into it. What made you get into coaching? I know you play ball at Samford, but what made you want to get into coaching and why girls instead of boys?
Well, Britt, be honest with you, I was an engineer major, architectural engineer major. So I had all of my, and I went to school on an academic and athletic scholarship. So I had all of my grades, but when I went to Samford, they didn't have that program. So my grandmother and my mother were teachers. So I started, got into the education part. So when I graduated from there, I went into teaching and everything like that. So got my master's in guidance and counseling. So when I did that, I was like, all right, I'm cool. I'm cool. Went to midfield, left Birmingham City, and went to midfield at Rutledge Middle School, and was a counselor. And they needed a basketball coach, and it was the girls' basketball coach. So I was like, they were like, man, we don't have anybody to do it. You'll do it. I was like, cool. And then got there, and then we went undefeated. And before then, there was another coach there, and they went undefeated then too. So I was like, cool. And then at the high school at the time, for like 2 or 3 years, they only won like 20 games total in about 3 or 4 years. So they asked me, would I be the coach there? So then I became the coach there, and the rest is history. All the girls that was at the middle school went to the high school, and we had a process of blending the girls that was already there at the high school with the girls I had at the middle school. That was a task, but at the end of the day, they all became sisters, and they still keep in touch to this day. So that's how I became coach.
Did you always have in mind that it was going to be a short time span that you coached? Because by after one of my former teammates, Jasmine Steele, after her senior year, you were done. And I joke all the time. I say you pulled a Lisa Blutter from Iowa after Caitlin graduated. She retired. She was like, I'm not going through the rebuild stage. So was that your mindset? It's like, okay, I don't want to go through a rebuild stage. This is it for me.
No, actually, I was going to retire coaching after your senior year. After 2010, four state championships in a row, won National Coach of the Year. So I was through. Then Jazz, I call her Little Giant, 4'11", if that, went to Alabama. She said, "Coach," she was going to be a junior. She said, "Coach, just coach me my junior and senior year." And I said, "Jazz, I do that for you." I said, "But after that, I don't care who it is, I'm not coaching after that." And then just so happened, during her senior year, the state moved me to the high school. From that point, I had to give it up anyway because it was too much on my plate. But I was planning on giving it up in 2010. But really, after Jazz graduated, since I promised her, and that was it. That's how I broke off from coaching.
Okay. Nobody else. You said, don't nobody else ask me to stay and keep
No,
coaching. I'm done.
I'm done.
I
Done.
feel you. I feel you. I got you. And I think
Done.
it's Lisa Bluter. I think I may have said Blutter. I just wanted to correct myself. So let's get right into it. I want to talk about some WNBA. Let's talk about these regular season awards. So we're just gonna run through them. Like, let me know if the voters got it right. MVP.
Right.
Yeah, unanimous. Asia Wilson, historic season.
Right.
First time WNBA player scored 1,000 points in the regular season, and I don't think anybody was more efficient than her. When you look at the amount of minutes she played and the points she scored, the stat sheet would be 28 minutes, 24 points, 30 minutes, 26 points. So she's real efficient with the time she has on the court, and she plays hard. The next person closest to her would have been Afisa Collier. Okay, most improved went to DeJounay Carrington of the Connecticut Sun. Thoughts on that?
All right, well, with the most improved, because you had Bridget, I
Who
don't
is
want to pronounce her name,
Bridget?
Bridget Carlton,
Oh, from the
from the
links.
Lynx. And then you had Kennedy. Is it Kennedy or Chinnity?
No, it's Kennedy Carter.
Okay, Kennedy Carter from the Sky, Chicago Sky. It was up for grab, but I would go with Carrington with the son because she made a drastic improvement. But she was all right last year, but you know, you can't lose with that. I get it. That's straight. That's a straight go one. That's a go.
Look, I'm not mad at Kennedy Carter because she was a top 5 point guard coming off the bench, and once she started starting for the Chicago Sky, was their leading scorer, was their floor general. I
Oh
understand
yeah.
what Angel Reese did in the post, but Kennedy Carter, if you watched them play, she was their best player.
Oh yeah.
I'm not mad at Kennedy Carter, but I guess when you think about how the team played and the impact, so.
Yeah.
The Sun, they were the number three seed. The Sky didn't make the playoffs. They went on that losing streak. I know Kennedy was out with COVID for like a few of those games, but they still hit a slump with her. So I'm not mad at DJ Carrington for that award. Like on both offense and defense, she's a dog and she kind of makes them go. Like she brings the energy for the team. So I like that pick. Defensive player of the year, Nafisa Collier.
Yeah. I can't. Well, it was either her or Asia.
Okay, I
So
was
if
okay.
you gave Asia the MVP, you know, I mean,
Not
real
Gabe,
talk. No,
earned,
well,
they
that's what I
earned. I'm
mean.
with you. I'm with you.
She earned MVP. And honestly, she could have earned
Defensive player of the
Defensive
year.
Player of the Year. The only reason I say Nafisa, not with an H, with an S. I got you.
You got it
Nafisa,
right.
I think they gave it to her because Nafisa guarded different positions: point guard, two guards, three guard, the four, small forward, power forward, and post player. She was able to step out and guard all of those. Now, Asia, she was able to switch here and there sometime, but that's why Nafisa ended up getting it because she was more versatile when it come to guarding different positions.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers, and Asia did lead Nafisa in blocks per game and steals per game. But when you look at the impact Nafisa had on the game, watching her in the playoffs in this final series, just like hands everywhere, blocking shots, just long and just having a huge impact on defense, I'm like, okay, I see it. I get it. I'm with you. Okay, sixth woman of the year that went to Tiffany Hayes of the Las Vegas Aces. What are your thoughts
Yeah.
on them?
Well, you had Fibich. That's how you pronounce her name, Fibich.
Phoebish.
Fibich. Fibich.
Phoebish. Phoebish.
Fibich, it was close, but Tiffany Hayes, either one of them to me. Either one of them. You know, so you couldn't lose if you put Fibich or Hayes. Either one of them. So I agree with that.
Yeah, and it could be it did Phoebish. I know they started to they put her in the starting lineup in the playoffs. Did she ever start in the regular season? Because that may have impacted.
I think she started some games. You know, it depends on who was hurt, who was not available,
Yeah,
things like that. So, and that might play the part in it,
but
but
because I think
as far, yeah.
Tiffany, I don't know if she ever just started. She was always the sixth woman coming off the bench. If Kennedy Carter had stayed coming off the bench, there was no
Oh,
question.
yeah.
Kennedy giving you 15 to 20 off the bench easy. But I think Hayes and the energy and what she brought for them, yeah, she deserved that. Okay, so let's talk about first team and second team. Second team, you have Sabrina Ionescu,
All right.
Kalia Copper of the Phoenix
All right.
Mercury,
All right.
Nneka Ogunbowale of the Seattle Storm, and
Okay.
Enrique Ogunbowale of the Dallas Wings. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna give you the first team. First team, Asia Wilson, Nafisa
Okay.
Collier, Breonna Stewart,
Okay.
Caitlin Clark,
Okay.
and Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun.
Okay. I can't disagree with first or second team.
So I was gonna ask if you disagree with any of those, and who would you switch out between first and second?
I wouldn't. I mean, I think all of them. First team is right to me. Second team is right. A couple of players are interchangeable, but it's still, it's not a drastic, like, ooh, how she get on the first team and this one. I don't see that. I don't see that drastic of a pick to put one, so I think both teams are good.
So who would you say is interchangeable?
None of them really. I mean,
You just said a few of them may be
no,
interchangeable.
no. Well, I'm just saying if they did, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, so let me rephrase myself. Whoever they were, the first team players to me deserve to be on first team. The second team players deserve to be on second team. And it's up to whoever want to debate that, but I think they got it right. I don't think anybody will slight it if that's the case. I just think, they got it right. So that's my opinion.
Okay, so I was looking at the first team and I said, okay, it seems like they pulled a player from the first seed, second seed, third seed, fourth seed. They skipped the fifth seed and they went on to the Indiana Fever, the sixth seed, and got Caitlin Clark. So I said, okay, if you look at the numbers between Clark and Copper, I think Copper averaged more points per game. But the overall numbers, Caitlin's overall numbers are better. And then you look at the impact of her team and how they were playing the second half of the season, rookie of the year, all of those things. I said I'm not mad at it. Arike, you can make the case if you're talking about points per game, she was the second most points in the WNBA this season, I believe.
Yeah.
But her team didn't perform well, so that put her at second team. Those are the only ones. So I'm gonna give it to Caitlin. I see why they went the way they went. So the voters, they got it right.
Let me just say this right here. I want to encourage all the new watchers or viewers or spectators of the WNBA. I want you to keep that energy for next year. Matter of fact, I'm gonna charge you to keep that same energy for the next 5 years straight. Because once you do it 5 years, you're gonna continue to do it. It's great ball. The refs, they need to get a little better, but it's great entertainment. They're gonna get better at the entertainment part of the WNBA, but the play has always been there. So, hey, continue to support them.
Okay, rookie of the year. That went to Caitlin Clark. How you feel
Okay.
about that?
I feel that it was the right decision, and it was a unanimous decision to me. Angel got hurt, and then Caitlin, they went from bottom of the barrel to, I ain't gonna say the top of the barrel, but they made it to the playoff. And then she was on a tear after the Olympic break. That means that she was doing her homework. She went in the lab. She also got with her other teammates and worked with them, and they worked with each other. Not she worked with them, but they worked with each other, and then they got on the right page. So it was a unanimous decision to me. Caitlin, yeah.
Okay, I will say first half of the season it was neck and neck.
Yeah, I'll give you
Second
that.
half, Caitlin started to separate herself. Yes, I agree. She should have won Rookie of the Year because of how her team was playing the second half of the season and entering the playoffs. Like you said, they were at the bottom of the rankings and they finished sixth. So it wasn't like, oh, they barely made it in or they weren't the seventh seed. They were the sixth seed. And the whole team was playing well. Kelsey Mitchell was playing some great ball,
Oof.
where you could talk about most improved, but I said I didn't consider her for most improved because she didn't play well to me the first half of the season. The
Yeah.
second half, she really found her groove and she and Caitlin were feeding off of each other really well. They had that 1-2 punch, and then they had a big woman in Aaliyah Boston who could hold it down in the post. But Kelsey and Caitlin, they really started to click the second half of the season. But I will say this, I agree with you that during the Olympic break, I feel like she was in the gym, in the weight room.
Yeah.
She was able to rest, get her legs back underneath her, because you know the rookies don't have really a chance to rest between finishing up college and then getting ready for training camp for the pros. That's why I stand on the fact that I don't feel like she should have made the Olympic team. I don't feel like
I'm
she was a
sorry.
person that got snubbed. I feel like it was other players like Arike, I feel like DaWanna Bonner, Neko Ogumake. I feel like those three got snubbed over Caitlyn because we're talking about veterans. Talk about the numbers that Arike put up. Like I said, she was the second in scoring in the league.
When you
DB,
yeah.
hold on, DB, a 15-year veteran, top five
Yeah.
all-time scoring list.
Do you know
Never
she from the
Birmingham,
crib. She
205, you
from
know
the
what I'm
crib. She
saying?
from Birmingham. Yeah,
Birmingham,
she
I
from
know.
here.
So of course I wanted DB to make it. And then you look at Nneka, former number one pick, and what she's been doing with the Storm. So you look at those players, and that's why I was like, man, people get so caught up in popularity over who's most deserving. So they're talking about, oh, they missed the opportunity to grow the game. To me, the Olympics isn't necessarily about growing the game. It's about taking the best team over there to win and taking the players who deserve it the most to represent their country to play.
Let me hit you with this too.
Okay.
Well, it was some on there that to me aged out.
That could have been left off. Yeah.
And those players you just named, DB, DaWanna Bonner, Fairfield Finest, Fairfield, Alabama Finest. Who else you name?
Oh, Neko,
Neko.
Ogumake.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She would have been cooking and
In
she
the
would have had a
post.
chef hat on
And
over there.
then Arike. So
And
Arike will
then,
be around. So here's my thing. Arike will be around 4 years from now. I don't know if DB and Neko will still be playing unless they pull a Taurasi. Were they trying to milk it? They still playing into their early 40s. I don't know. And I said that was a
what's
missed
Taurasi
opportunity.
doing? What's
She
he doing?
milked it, baby. She look. Hey, look. She said, y'all gonna give me. She got that court named after her. She got all her flout. And you know what? I respect it because a lot of our legends and our greats haven't been honored and received their flowers while they were still playing. Maya Moore didn't get her flowers. You know, they honored her. The Lynx did retire her jersey and everything, but she didn't get that farewell tour. Candace Parker didn't get it because she announced her retirement before the season started. So it's a lot of players that didn't get it. So I ain't mad at DT.
Well, those two, I can't get mad because they didn't get it because they retired abruptly.
Well, yeah.
You know, it wasn't like this my last tour, you know, my last season where they were able to get, you know, the flower. They just said, "Hey, I'm done."
Well,
And
Maya ain't even
Maya
retired.
didn't even
We,
say
I,
nothing.
she, we, I thought everybody believed she was coming back. I thought she was gonna pull a Michael Jordan, a MJ, and she hit up
Maya
with
said,
the Okie doke.
I got my dude out.
Got her
We
man and went
finna
on,
just
baby.
we finna build a family. We finna just do what we do, how we do it, and I'm good, you know.
Everybody was hurt by that. Like, oh man, they mad at her husband. Like, man, you robbed her.
Hey man, you should stay, man. Golly, man, you robbed us from at least eight, but
Yeah.
8 to 12 more years of greatness.
Yeah, because I feel like if she was still playing now, she'd be playing at an elite level. And I mean, that was her choice. Like, she could have got him out and came back. So I don't know, you
Hey,
know.
Britt, just imagine. You got Simone Augustus. You got Sylvia Fowles. You got all of them. Oh, man, you got all of them players from back. Man, just imagine if they had a protagonist and an antagonist
Back
back
then.
then to shine the light on the WNBA. Man, what? I'm talking
Okay,
about, oh.
you were a little ahead of me. So the
My
point
bad, my
we were
bad, my bad.
making, the point I was making was, if Caitlin had been playing in the Olympics, I don't feel like we would have got the same Caitlin the second half of the season because
Nah,
she
we
would have
couldn't.
been tired. Because a lot of those players weren't the same when they came back. Jewell Loyd, she struggled during the Olympics and she struggled when she came back. We talk about players, Brittney Griner coming back off an injury. She, that's a player that probably you probably could have left off because I said she was injured and I don't know if she was ready to play. She could have been left off. Of course, DT could have been left off, but this was her last one. Chelsea Gray could have been left off because I don't feel like she was fully recovered from her injury because even when she got back with the Aces, she still wasn't her full self. But
Everything you said, I co-sign. I co-sign
okay.
everything you just said is co-sign. Real talk.
So let's get into our next topic because you talk about a protagonist and an antagonist. And I want to talk about just the narrative that surrounded the league this year from beginning to end and your thoughts on it. First of all, the players talking about the racism they experienced from Indiana fans. Social media, you can't really do anything about that. But when they played at Indiana, they were saying how bad it was. So, what do you feel, or how do you feel about some of these so-called fans using racism in the sake of Caitlin Clark or in her namesake? You see what I'm saying? Like
Yeah, I
they're
got you.
supporting her, but they're using this to push their own narrative and their own prejudices and racism. Your thoughts on
See,
that?
people watch sports and pull for teams or people for certain reasons. Number one, because the person, because of their athleticism or what they bring to the game. Another reason they'll cheer for them because of the team. If they're playing on their favorite team, they're going to cheer for them because of the team. And another thing they cheer for them about is because of race. Now, I hate when people cheer for people because of race, because you're forgetting about the style of play and the team, concept. Where in this instance, you had a lot of, not a lot, but you had a few ignorant people pulling for not the team, but for Caitlin because she was white and it's a black sport, basically. Those people were ignorant. Now, the people who was pulling for Caitlin because she can ball and they like Indiana Fever, we're not talking about them. Now, the only issue I had with Caitlin with this whole situation was that I wish she would have just said, hey, look here. I'm here to play ball. I love my teammates. I love my team, my coaches. If you're cheering for me or following me to use me for your own racial agenda, please don't follow me no more. Please, you don't have to be a fan of mine or any of that. I'm not part of that. Now, that's the only thing I hold in. Then some people say, well, she's not vocal. She was vocal when she got the crap knocked out of her. She was vocal when she felt that she wasn't being treated right and that she was vocal. So you could have been vocal on that. Now, that's the only thing I just hold against. Everything else, I think she handled herself well. But I think if she would have came out and said that, that would eliminate some of the ignorant people who were still making racial slurs,
Yeah.
from Indiana.
I will say in her defense, she did speak on it, but it came a little late. Like a lot of the damage had already been done. And like you said, she didn't have that same energy when she was like, oh, I'm getting hacked out there. They're fouling me. And you know, people were going to come to your defense when you did that in post-game interviews. So it's like, we got to come rescue the damsel in distress. We got to come save you. You know what I'm saying? So, in that same way, like, y'all, I'm not going to tolerate any of this. You're racist. You're not a fan of mine. That's not what this sport is about. That's not what this game is about.
Exactly.
So, like you said, she does speak up for certain things, and we got to have grace with her on, I guess, her timing, when she's going to do it. Because, like you said, she can shut down a lot of these things early and often. And I do want to give her credit for there was a foul. I think DJ Carrington poked her in the eye. And she went ahead and said, look, it wasn't intentional. She didn't mean to do it. She tried to shut it down early. But a reporter, a white female reporter, still took the liberty to question DJ Carrington. Did you do it on purpose? Was it intentional? Like, that's dumb. That's not good reporting. That's not good journalism. Kaylin already told you it wasn't intentional. So you're trying to be messy by going to ask DJ, was it intentional? What do you think she's going to say? So it's just been a lot of irresponsible things happening from people in media, reporters, fans that has just entered the league, and it's just like these women wanted more attention for their game. They done delivered on the court. They've been hooping. They just want to make more money. They didn't ask for all this extra stuff. And it's just unfortunate.
You got to look at it when Larry Bird and Magic Johnson developed the protagonist and antagonist, whichever one you want to put one of them as, it doesn't matter. But it's up to you. When in college, people pull for Magic because he played for Michigan State, they like his game, or he was black. People pull for Larry Bird because they like his game, or he played at what, Indiana State,
Yeah, Indiana State.
or he was white. So now you got those three on each side pulling for them. All right, 1 or 2 years in a row. Okay, now they both go to the NBA. So those same followers gonna follow, them. But the racial part gets out there quicker because they're the loudest, whether it's white or whether it's black, it's the loudest. So they revolutionized the NBA. All right, now it's been plenty of women in the WNBA way better than Angel Reese, way better than Caitlin, whether they white or black. But they never had a protagonist. Oh, I'm
Go ahead.
sorry.
I'm gonna just go ahead and finish. I'm glad you said that because a lot of these new watches is just like Caitlin Clark. Oh, she's the best thing since sliced bread.
No,
If you've been
no.
watching the
Yeah,
game,
Sue Bird.
but
You're
if
not.
you say
Oh.
that, you're hating on her, but you haven't been
She'll
watching.
tell you them
Go
her
ahead.
idols. You had Sue Bird, Taurasi. You, man, I can just go to, man, we can just go
Yeah,
to name it.
I
Even
got you.
if you try to say Angel Reese was it, we had, you had, no, you can name white, black, any player that was in the WNBA. You can name 50 of them from since the WNBA started now that was better than Caitlin or Angel Reese when they came, when the, before they came in the league and when they was in the league. No disrespect on Caitlin or Angel because they are great talent. But I'm just giving you raw footage. Now, the difference between them two was that they came at the right time, and then they develop a protagonist and antagonist villain or whatever, however you want to say, against each other in college. Did they try to? No. Did they, what, did they wake up one morning and say, hey, we're gonna be, we're gonna, they call each other and say, hey, we're gonna do this so we can make money. No, they didn't do that. It developed naturally. So now the people follow them because they like LSU or Iowa, or they like the way Angel play, or they like the way Caitlin play, or they like a black person, or they like a white person. So now you got the same concept as Magic and Bird. Now you got that in the WNBA for the first time. And look how it took off. It took off just like the NBA took off. The WNBA took off like that. And it's going to keep growing because now if the college is smart and the players are smart, you'll continue to create those every 5 to 7 years, a protagonist and antagonist type atmosphere for a couple of players who ever getting drafted, so that energy can keep going and going and going. Like Magic, I'm gonna say
And Bird.
like Magic Bird, Jordan when he came to the league.
It wasn't. Who was it?
It wasn't anybody against him.
Okay.
It was teams then. He
Yeah.
made the teams protagonist and antagonist. They're going like Detroit, the Knicks,
Yeah.
teams like that again. So now, you know, you create that. I'm gonna give you a prime example. Utah and Chicago. Chicago were black. Utah were predominantly white. And
Yeah,
them one of the
the Bulls
high,
and Jazz, the Bulls and Jazz. That's back when they had John Stockton, Karl
all of
Malone, and then the Bulls, they had MJ and
them. They
everybody.
had
Okay.
MJ and, you know, everybody, all of them. So people join in just to see black versus white, you know. Not everybody, but some folks did. So those folks who did normally don't even watch sports. So just imagine that's another 10 to 20% growth right there. So, you know, that's how it is.
You make a good point because you're forced, like people like choosing a side. So if you go back to, like you said, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in college, people were already kind of hip to Caitlin and Angel before. Caitlin did the little John Cena. She did it to Hailey Van Lier. And then once LSU beat Iowa, Angel Reese did it back to her. But before that, you had black versus white with South Carolina versus Iowa.
Yeah.
And then Iowa upset them. I'm talking 2 years ago, not last year.
Yeah, I know year before
And
that. I know you're
then
talking about.
the championship game, LSU and Iowa. Again, predominantly black team versus a predominantly white team. And then this year was reversed. LSU versus Iowa. And what was the final four? It was the final four.
It's the
And
Final Four
yeah,
then, and
it was the
then
final four. And
Iowa
then
played
Iowa beat them.
South Carolina.
Iowa got their get back against LSU. And then South Carolina got their get back against Iowa.
Oh, they scared Mark them too.
So I think what the difference is now, because you look at the way the women in the past, the women of the W carried themselves, they didn't really have, it was almost like they weren't allowed to have personality. It was like be professional, uptight. Now we have social media and it's like you can tweet things and you see Angel Reese doing the you too little. She talking trash. Like you rarely, like we've seen it from women in the past, but it's like now it's like, oh, for real? Like people are watching now, so you see that. And then you see Caitlin Clark pulling from the logo and hooping. And then you have a team like South Carolina that's just dominant, just hooping. So it's a lot of great basketball going on. And it's a lot of things that you can follow and keep up with. How they're carrying themselves on social media with the NIL now and the deals and the modeling and all these things. There was no social media back then during the Bird
Nah.
and Magic era. So I'm sure there was still a whole lot of racism that Magic experienced that he can speak on. I don't know if he's spoken on it or not, but I'm interested to hear what he would have to say.
And I'm just gonna be real. It was a lot of racism that Larry Bird can speak on from,
From black people?
yeah.
But I guess I want to say this. I don't know how vocal Larry Bird was back then. I know Magic was vocal, but you look at Angel Reese, and it's always the black person, the black women have to speak up because nobody's gonna do it for them. If you don't speak up for yourself, you have to be an advocate for yourself.
Right.
It's like a white player can be quiet and that's fine. People are like, well, what do you want them to say? They don't have to say anything, but you have to understand. And then when black players do speak up, it's a problem. You're complaining, you're whining. So Angel Reese, when she got fouled hard by Alyssa Thomas early in the season, she was like, I don't expect her to take it easy on me. That's cool. Because I know what I'm gonna do. It's just like that. And then Kaitlyn, when she got fouled, now we know the whole situation with Kennedy Carter, that was wrong. That was uncalled for.
Yeah,
But when
that.
Kaitlyn Clark, she's getting fouled, oh, I feel like I'm getting hammered out there. Well, no, you be pushing and shoving too. You be talking your talk too. So just say, yeah, I'm getting fouled hard too, but I also foul hard. They saying stuff to me, but I say stuff to them too. It works both ways. Just take it on the chin instead of crying about it. That's the problem I have. It's like you can dish it out, but you don't want to take it.
Now, with Caitlin saying that, I don't mind her saying that I'm getting hammered, but I also say, well, when I get a chance to hammer somebody else, I'm hammering them too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm agreeing with even with Angel. Hey, she got me. She won't get me the next time. So what she doing is acknowledging, okay, this is a war. We out here between these lines. So this what happened. But you won't get me the next time because I'm gonna get you. So and Caitlin, like that's one of the things I'm talking about, speaking out. You know what I'm saying? What we were talking about earlier. That's the only negative I have on her. Not even her game. None. If you speak out once or twice during this season, I guarantee you a lot of that stuff, a lot of backlash, and a lot of that the racism stuff from fans. Some of that would have cut. I ain't saying all because people, you got some ignorant people out there that's
Yeah.
still gonna be ignorant. So,
Yeah. And then they don't watch the games. They just
no.
look at the headlines on social media, the clickbait. They may look at a little highlight or two. They tune in to these mega sports shows that are mainly run by men. I talked about First Take, Stephen A. Smith, and Shannon Sharpe. You look at a lot of people were weighing in on the WNBA early in the season. It's like y'all don't even watch. Y'all haven't been watching, and y'all have pushed this narrative that other players are hating on Caitlin Clark. They created this drama, which it did die down, but I feel like the product was good enough where it would have been okay without all of the drama from, like, you know what I'm saying? From all of the
Yeah.
people, like your Pat McAfees and your Emmanuel Eichels and all of
I
this,
choke,
Shannon McCoy. It's just like y'all don't watch, and it's like, what are you doing? And you had the women who cover the sport, they were trying to shut it down. So it's just a lot going on. And go ahead, say what you want to say, because I want to come back and talk about the narrative where you can push whatever agenda you want and people will believe it. So that's why I get
Yeah, I
into
believe in that. I believe
where
that.
the
I believe
media
that.
could have done more in the past for women's sports before now, as far as the coverage. But,
Well, here's my take on that. You're right.
okay.
But professional sports are entertainment. Professional sports are entertainment. If you look at non-professional sports, men's basketball, college, and women's basketball are pushed just the same. Now, when you get to professional sports, that's entertainment. So they're going to push where the money is or where the interest is. Let me take First Take and debate shows like that. They're only going to debate when it's a hot topic because their job is to get numbers. Their job is not a, I'm going to say, their, oh no, not their job, their show. So when you're on their show, and their production, because they meet 2 hours before they even get on before they get on air. So the producers say, hey, these are the hot topics from Instagram, Facebook, X, whatever you want to. We're going to discuss these. Okay, I need for you to argue this point. I need for you to argue this point. I need for you to argue this point right here. This is what we're going. Let's come up with the facts, whatever, to back yourself up. Boom, 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 boom. So they're going to touch on things that's hot because they're trying to get rated. Is that right? I'm not going to say it's right. Is it wrong? I'm not going to say it's wrong because at the end of the day, they down for their line, you know, the bottom line, which is money. Now, I'm going to hit you with this one here. Majority of the people who were watching, legitimately watching the WNBA prior to this year was mostly male.
I had to look at the numbers.
You can look it up. Matter of fact, do your check, fact check behind me. I'm not going to say it was like 80 to 20%. I'm not saying that, but it wasn't like 80% women watching and 20% male. Most people who are watching the WNBA, majority of them was males, but it was a lot of female, but they were watching it just like I would because it was good basketball. I ain't watched the NBA until it got down to playoff, be honest with you, until they started to play in. But I watched WNBA because I just wanted to see some good ball. I want to see good ball movement. I want to see all that. Now, was it as entertainment as the NBA? No. But it was good ball, and I respect good ball. That's why I watched them. And I couldn't wait till their season started. But a lot of people watch NBA, baseball, go to the games, football, because of entertainment. And there wasn't enough entertainment in WNBA. But when they had the protagonist, antagonist, people came to watch because of either skin color, team, or they like that person. You see what I'm saying? So they picked the side. So that's why sports shows didn't really dwell on the WNBA because it wasn't, I ain't gonna say, a hot topic at the time.
Well, I still say that the people in positions of power could have dictated what the fans or what they covered, because I take it back to the Keith Lee effect. He's a social media influencer, food critic. You know, it'll be a business that's struggling. He go and give them a review and saying, oh, this food is really good. It's just a marketing issue. Next day or the same day, the line is wrapped around the block and then they're thriving after that. So if you cover women's sports, I'm not saying you have to open the show with it. You didn't have to open the show with it in the past. Because they opened, like, a first take, they opened the show with that foul that Kennedy Carter committed on Caitlin and talked about that for a full hour, which was drama. And nobody was talking about how good of a game it was, how well Kennedy Carter
no, they
played.
Did. Talked about it for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm, well, 2 hours, okay. Well, what I'm saying is you could have been doing it. You could have been covering women's sports a little here and there. So all I'm saying is they could have been doing this. It shouldn't have taken, oh, now that it's hot, oh, let us jump on the bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? You could have been a front leader in it. You know, the media, they have played a part. They could have done a better job, and they could have brought the advertisers, because the advertisers are going to go where the media coverage is.
Yeah, I mean, I see both sides because I got a business myself. And you in radio, so you know about advertising. It's certain topics y'all got to talk about you don't even want to talk about. It's certain things that...
Well, luckily, we're nonprofit, so, you know.
You know, so... and when you're dealing with billions of dollars, with billions of dollars, somebody bottom line, they're going to talk about what's interesting. And WNBA was not interesting enough to talk about on a daily basis or a consistent basis. No disrespect, because I watched it all the time. Now, I could have talked about it if I had me a show, because I watch it. But a lot of people didn't watch it, male and female. And a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon. So my take is this right here. Since everybody, this is what I'm charging people with from this point on. Since you jumped on the bandwagon right now, stay on the bandwagon. Stay on it. And then let's continue to. But I'm going to charge the WNBA too. You have to be more creative to produce a product, not the players. I'm not talking about the players, not at all, because they be balling. But you have to do narrative. You have to come up with something here, like the NBA. Yes, Tatum, he's this,
Yeah.
he's that, he that. You know, they create that. So the WNBA have to do that too in order to keep people interested.
Yeah, I get it. And it's a lot of narratives out there that they can take. So sometimes the easiest narrative, the messiest narrative is usually what people go with because drama sells. But I feel like they can do a better job, man. You know, just do a little bit more research. The storylines are out there. But that just also brings me to my point of, you know, when I talk about the men in media, how when men are talking about sports, they can get away with not knowing what they're saying. You know what I mean? Because just because they're a man, people feel like they are, they know. You know what I mean? It was a Chris Broussard was on his podcast and he was giving commentary on when Donna Taurasi was saying to Caitlin Clark, you know, the WNBA is coming. It's going to be a rude awakening. You know, you're going to have to go through that learning curve. And a lot of people gave her flack because they said she was hating and they didn't like the way she said it. And he's like, I feel like she's hating on her. I don't really watch the WNBA, but you know already, you know what I'm saying, discredited yourself
Discredit
right there.
yourself
You just
already.
said, I don't watch the WNBA. So it's just like people, if it's a hot topic, people feel like, oh, let me jump on this bandwagon, let me speak on it. But if you don't have the credibility, you shouldn't speak on it. You know, but when it comes to women, they really have to know their stuff when it comes to sports. Cause it's like, why should I listen to you? If you haven't played or because you're a woman, you better know what you're talking about. So I just feel like people need to be more responsible, which is again one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series in their takes, man, because if you have a huge following, people feel like your word is law.
Yeah,
They're
that's
not
true.
gonna
That's true.
gonna do their research. You're the research. So
That's
you
true.
need to be
That's true.
responsible with your audience.
You that's true, Britt. I can't even disagree with you with that. And my thing is this right here, sex sales. So they gonna boost that, and negativity sales. They gonna boost that. Anything positive, you know, they're not gonna boost it. That's my only thing. I charge them with the producers and things like that. Not even the people who come out there and speak on it, because sometime in the production part of it, they are given lines to say and given lines to do. So I'm gonna go a step further than that. I'm not even talking about the. I don't know what Stephen A. might have a lot more to say on his show, which he's doing better, way better. So I'm gonna give him his kudos on that. But it's I disagree on certain things too with a lot of people, and they probably disagree with me. But if the producers say, you know what, every segment, every one we're gonna do, we're gonna touch on something that's not the leading thing in the world today. We're gonna touch on something that's wholesome. We're gonna touch on something, you know, and then that way it'll make it more conscious and people, you know, it'll keep things in the spotlight that need to be in the spotlight.
I agree. Like I say, it has gotten better. It did die down, and it was really good once we could focus on basketball because it was a great product that was being displayed on the court.
But
You
they
know.
were knocking the crap out of them. And I mean, I.
So, was not everybody getting fouled hard too? Okay, so, like, okay, you come in. That's just like when MJ came into the league. Oh,
They
you
were
know what I'm
knocking the
saying?
crap out
They're
of
knocking the
them.
crap out of them.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron, the Cho, you people done. Named you the chosen one. You had already had Kobe in the league, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, Allen Iverson. All these guys, like, okay, we waiting on you. We ready for you. Like you good. We hate, but you finna get our best every night. And that's just competition. That's not hating.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm about to show you.
Oh, show
So
me then.
that's the same thing. When Caitlin come, you know you're gonna get everybody's best.
And
That's
I don't even
basketball.
think it was her. I don't even think it was her. I just think it was just other people creating that narrative.
Oh
I
yeah,
just
for
think she
sure.
was just like, I'm just going, I just want to play ball. And I in the real talk, Larry Bird was the same way. I just want to play. Him and Magic actually was good friends. Still is. But people created a narrative, but they were cool. They still cool. You know, people want to create a narrative, some to make money, some to make buzz, but just speak truth, like you say, speak facts. You can't argue with facts and figures.
Okay, so now I want to talk about some of these WNBA coaching fires. We had four coaches to be fired since the regular season ended. Latricia Tremaille, did I pronounce that right? Yeah.
Latricia
Latricia
Tremaille.
Tremaille. Okay, Latricia Tremaille from the Dallas Wings.
Wayne.
You had Kurt Miller of the Los Angeles Sparks, Tanisha Wright of the Atlanta Dream, and Teresa Weatherspoon of the Chicago Sky. What are your thoughts on these firings? I really want to speak specifically to Teaspoon, but it's just all of these firings and like who are the coaches lined up to replace them?
Let me tell you, Cheryl Reeve spoke about this. I don't know if it was a couple of days ago or whenever. And she said that, it's a hard thing for all the coaches because she said all the coaches can coach. So it's hard for any coach in the WNBA to hear of another coach getting fired because they know that's their coworker. I mean, not necessarily working the same, team, but they all mingle, you know what I'm saying, like that, and it's hard. But who you gonna get,
That's true.
and why did you fire him? Did you fire him because of productivity? Did you fire him because none of the players like him or they couldn't relate to any of the players? Now I can understand that with their scheme or schematics of their offense and defense, something that you didn't agree with, or you just fired him because you didn't want him and you in nepotism. I got somebody else or my friend, son or daughter play ball. They want a coach, so I'm gonna go ahead and move them in. And the only reason I'm saying that because I think all the other coaches coach multiple years, 2 years, 3 years, except
Teaspoon,
Weatherspoon,
yeah.
Teaspoon. I just think that was unfair a little bit. 1 year, 1 year. Like God, dog. I know they ain't make it to the playoff, but man, at least give them 2 to 3 years. Unless they just do something drastic, like slap somebody or. Something like that, or beat up the owner or anything. But 1 year? Nah, Teaspoon, yeah, Teaspoon got too much knowledge to give players to just 1 year, I just think.
And now a Hall of Famer, because she was recently inducted with this 2024 class.
Oh, yeah.
So she deserved better. And like you said, only 1 year, you at least should get 3 to 4 years. Especially the fact that she had Angel Reese to come in, and Angel spoke about it on social media how she wanted to play for the Sky because of Teaspoon. So for you to break up that culture and that relationship, somebody your franchise player really wanted, that wasn't smart. So I don't know why they did that. And you could tell when they would show her, she attended some games after that and she looked like she was hurt. She thought it was going to be more, she was going to have more time. So hopefully somebody else will pick her up. I don't know. To me, she was a great fit for the Sky because they played with grit. You know, the way they played ball, like they needed a coach like her. So I don't know who else they're going to bring in behind her. And even too with the Sparks coach, because I'm surprised when you bring in, I think he may have been there 2 or 3 years. But when you
Kurt.
bring in a Cameron Brink and Rakia Jackson, she was honorable mention for Rookie of the Year, third best player,
Been balling.
the most pro-ready player in the draft. Found her niche. I don't know why she wasn't starting to begin the season, but once she was inserted into that starting lineup, cooking. I mean, she just found her rhythm. Can play the one through the four,
Maybe that's
stretch
why they
running.
fired him, because he didn't start her at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I don't
I
know.
don't know.
I don't know either. I figured they would have given him more time with that rookie class to develop them. I don't know. Like you said, they're firing these coaches. Who are you going to hire? I know in the past, a lot of the GM and the coach, they wear both hats, and that can be a lot. And then we think about how much W coaches make. It was.
They make about I think anywhere between 500 or 600,000 to like 1.3, 1.23 million or something like that. So it ain't nothing to fry on it either now.
Yeah, I'm saying like that. I'm just saying because your higher end coaches are Becky Hammon and the new coach who came in for the Mercury, who came from the NBA, who's now the highest paid coach. A lot of people have said they should try to get some coaches from college, the Dawn Staley or Kim Mulkey. They're not
Oh,
finna
no
take that type of
indeed.
pay cut.
Man,
They
they're
making a
making
whole lot
10
of
million.
bread.
They're making about 8 to 10. And then hold on. It ain't just the amount they're making. Even if they're making 2 million
They
in
got a great
college,
situation.
they're not taxed the same. You got entertainment taxing and pro. You don't have that in college. Plus, if you at a public college, then you got retirement and everything. So in order for you to, if you're making 2 million in college, you got to make at least 5 million in pro to be equivalent to a person making 2 million in college.
I knew you was gonna understand the breakdown and the taxes and the, you know, that paperwork and why it's a good situation for them. So it's not favorable for them to leave college and go to the pros.
Talking about WNBA, NBA, NFL, baseball, none of that. Unless you're making a tremendous more in pro, most people go from college to pro is for ego. Yeah, I'm coaching pro now, But for monetary wise, no.
Well, one thing I don't want to see happen is they give the jobs to a lot of white men. I want somebody who's qualified, and I think it's good to give former players a shot. I want to see women coaching women. You know what I'm saying? You look at who is available or who you may think is a good fit. You see the Golden State organization, they hired a coach who was on the Aces staff, and I can't remember else who else she coached for. But she has a good resume and she's getting a shot. I'm just saying, I just don't want all of those positions to be filled by white men. You know what I'm saying? Your coaches should reflect the league.
Yeah, I mean, this just me. It's just like vote. You got several reasons to vote. Platform, party, then the other two is race and sex, whether it's male or female. With basketball, you can hire a person based off of their platform, which is what you should. Just like vote, you should vote for a person for their platform. If you don't know their platform, then you can go to the whatever party. With basketball or any other sport, you vote for them because of the, I'm gonna say you hire them because of their platform, what they're about, what they're trying to do, how can they help better the players on the team and your team, and bottom line, your productivity, which is money. But if you hire somebody because of their sex, which is male or female, or because of their race, then I disagree with that. Now, you hire somebody, whether they white male, white female, black female, whatever, because how they can coach and grade them on their coach and how well they can get people to get better and perform better as a team, then I'm with that. But like you say, some coaches should reflect the players. You got white player, foreign player, black players, all of those in WNBA and NBA. Well, we're talking about the WNBA now, so
Yeah.
those four positions I'm looking for. It would be great if they're replaced with people that represent the league, players in the league.
In the best interest. No, I'm with you. So I know I play for male coaches, black coaches, white coaches, female coaches. So what I'm saying is a lot of times in almost every league, mainly white men get the job. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? A lot of people who are qualified don't get the opportunities.
It skipped
So
over.
you're talking about a league that's all women, predominantly black. Let some of those former players or somebody who has a resume get an opportunity to coach. And you can't give them 1 year. You have to give them more time than that.
At least three.
At
And
least
you
three.
get, yeah, at least three. Unless they just go in there and do something just totally stupid. Like if they go in there and cuss all on the when they doing their interviews and slapping people or beating people, just cursing folks out, the owner and all of that, then hey, you gotta go. But you gotta give them at least 3 years, I say, at least.
No, I'm with you. As long as they qualify and if they have a good brand and they could bring more fans to the league, they can do things to help benefit the team and their organization, I'm all for it. But again, I just don't want to see all of the jobs go to, we talk about nepotism. Just because of who they know and they're not qualified, their resume isn't any better than another woman who could have gotten a
Yeah, it
job.
could have
That's
been on
all
that.
I'm
Yeah,
saying.
I agree with you. I say get the best
Or a
person.
black male coach.
Yeah, get the best person for the job. You know what I'm saying? So whoever interview for them, and it's like you were talking about Teaspoon, I don't know what happened. I can't speculate. I wish she could have been able to coach 2 more years. At least, that. But I don't think she'll get a head coaching job within the next few years. I do think it's gonna be some smart head coaches that's gonna hire her as an assistant, whether it's in the NBA or WNBA. I do think that they probably knocking on the door for her now because of her style, because of her knowledge of the game, and just she's just raspy. You know what I'm saying? I think one of those type team, NBA or WNBA, probably gonna try to get her as an assistant coach, and then maybe down the line she can get back in there as a head coach.
Indeed. Well, Ware, thank you so much for joining the show. This has been a great one. We covered a lot. I think we gave a lot of great insight and perspective. So this was an episode of Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Until next time, y'all be blessed. We out of here.